The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
Ah, it is, and it's a Thursday, or as we like to call it around here, Friday Eve. So, the weekend is so close we can almost touch it. I hope you have something fun planned. I'll fill you in on my plans, what we decided to do in a little while. But first, I guess we can start with some, I hate to call it good news, but at least something didn't go against us today. The vote was 229 to 202. The House moved to hold Steve Bannon in criminal contempt of Congress. They will refer the case to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia for potential prosecution over defying a congressional subpoena issued by the committee, the Special Select Committee investigating January 6th. And the final count, well, was a bit of a surprise. All Democrats voted yes, which wasn't a surprise. And nine Republicans in the House also voted to hold Steve Bannon in contempt. They are, and some of these people I don't even know, Major, M-E-I-J-E-R, I don't know, Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, Gonzalez Upton, I know that's Fred Upton of Michigan, Katko Fitzpatrick, Mace, and Herrera Butler. Now, all of them but two, I think it's Mace and I don't know who the other one is. Those two are the only, seven of the nine voted in favor of impeaching Trump in his second impeachment trial. They got two more on board, and there it goes. Now, NBC News is reporting that this House-passed resolution will now be delivered to the U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington by courier. The U.S. attorney will publicly acknowledge receipt, and that's all we know. Because Merrick Garland, we don't know what he's going to do. And it's not like, you know, we can go on precedent that he's always done the right thing, because he hasn't. In fact, you know, he testified, Merrick Garland, the so-called attorney general, testified today on Capitol Hill before I don't remember which committee it was. There were a few things going on. There was the debate over holding Steve Bannon in contempt, and then there was this testimony of Merrick Garland. And I have to play for you this question, which is really kind of what I would have asked had I been allowed to question Merrick Garland today. But instead of me, it was Steve Cohen of Tennessee, Congressman Steve Cohen of Tennessee, who asked this.
Sees it as a mistake. The rule of law, you made clear, and I know you believe this, is one of the major tenets of the Department of Justice to uphold the rule of law. Michael Cohen has a felony on his record, spent time in prison for paying, at the direction of President Trump, hush money to Stormy Daniels and another woman.
Yep.
I believe that it's pretty well known that President Trump was individual one, as described in the indictment.
Yep.
He couldn't be indicted because of Department of Justice policy. You don't indict a sitting president. He's no longer a sitting president. Do you believe that not looking into indicting individual one, equally, if not more guilty than Michael Cohen, is not an abuse of equal protection under the law and an abrogation of the idea that the rule of law is principle?
Yes, so, Congressman, or no, because it's a double negative.
Element of the rule of law is the norm of the Justice Department that we don't comment on whether we're investigating what the status of investigations are unless and until there's a public charge. That's important to protect
everyone.
Isn't
there now a public charge?
Be a former president, an existing president, or a public official or a private individual.
I will accept that, but I hope that you will look at it because I believe that he is equally, if not more, guilty, and it does seem that people get favored treatment if he's not prosecuted. Transparency is important as well.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Can I get an amen for Congressman Steve Cohen of Tennessee? I always have a hard time with it because he's not, he's a Jewish man. And I don't expect to find many Jews in Tennessee, but there you go. I think he represents like the Nashville area. So there's that. But good on him. That's the question I would have asked. Didn't get the answer that I wanted. And if Merrick Garland doesn't do the right thing here, Biden should fire him. Did you notice the other day a reporter asked Biden, what he thinks the Justice Department should do? Should they refer Steve Bannon for a criminal contempt charge? And Biden said, absolutely. I think anybody who ignores a subpoena from Congress should be charged, should be prosecuted. Well, my God, the media jumped all over his shit because he answered a question. Unlike what the former guy would do in this position, and he did. Remember, he hated Jeff Sessions because he expected the attorney general to be his Roy Cohn. And if you don't know about Roy Cohn, read about New York up until what, the 90s? Roy Cohn was a cutthroat, piece of shit lawyer. The thing is, the attorney general does not represent the president. The attorney general represents us. What did I do wrong? Memphis. Okay, so not Nashville, but Memphis, another metropolitan area. I wouldn't think he'd represent like bumfuck Tennessee. The whole state. All right, still. So that's why it's sort of a non sequitur. He's kind of out of place there, but good for him and good for the people of Tennessee who elected him. Anyway, if they don't, if Merrick Garland does not do the right thing here, then Biden should fire him. The thing is, he's being criticized by the corporate media for daring to voice an opinion when asked a direct question by a member of the press. The former guy didn't wait for anyone to ask him a question. He just said, I want my attorney general to go after them. He's going to go after them. He's going to lock him up. Lock her up. Lock her up. I'm so sick of the double standard. I really am. And I'm really, really tired of these media types. Yes, watch the movie Angels in America, Stephen Lee, if you want to know about Roy Cohn. Good suggestion there. Yeah, I'm sick of these media types trying to be all, we got to equally criticize both sides. Well, yeah, if the crimes were the same, right? If the crimes were of the same magnitude, then yeah. But there's a gulf between what the last administration did and what this administration's doing. And I understand. Look, I am not a Republican. I am a Democrat, such as it is. Believe me, I wish we had a better Democratic Party to be part of. But given a choice between the two, and when you have a two-party system, even though the parties are not delineated in the Constitution, it's what we have. And so you gotta, you go to war with the army you have, not the army you want, to paraphrase a now dead former Secretary of Defense. But yeah, they're just the criticisms are ridiculous. And it's the media trying to say, see, we can criticize the Democrats too. It wasn't only Donald Trump. Well, stop it. Just stop it. I've spent a lot of time on the show talking about, I kind of like Breonna Keeler at CNN. Well, she went off, and I think I talked about this a little bit yesterday, on going overboard on Bernie Sanders calling out the media for not reporting on the substance of the reconciliation bill, instead just talking about how much it costs, but never going into detail about what's in it. So they did this live stream last night. But again, that's Bernie on the internet, as opposed to, you know, national or international television coverage of what's in the damn bill. They'll probably do a lot of coverage on what's been taken out of it. We'll talk to Howie about some of that when he joins us in a little bit. But this is just so typical, just so typical. And if you're wondering, like, where we are now, well, here's another report. Sources familiar say Ms. Enema, quote, has agreed to provisions in each of President Biden's four proposed revenue categories: international, domestic, corporate, high net worth individuals, and tax enforcement. That's five. Oh, domestic, corporate. I get it. International, domestic, corporate, high net worth individuals, and tax enforcement, providing sufficient revenue to fully pay for the reconciliation package. So she should shut the fuck up now and say she's in. She will go along with this. But here's the other problem. Monday, I guess, is that the next deadline. It's a deadline for, and I could be wrong on some of this, so pardon me if I am. There's just a lot of moving parts here. But they did an extension of the transportation funding, holding off until they can get the BIF, or the hard infrastructure bill, passed. Well, it's not going to come up for a vote until the reconciliation bill, the larger bill, is finished and voted on, because the two have to go together to ensure that these not centrist, these conservative members of the Democratic Party will actually hold true to the deal that was cut, that they would, you know, the progressives will support the non-progressive plan, and the non-progressives will support the progressive plan. That's really what it is. That's what the two bills are. And it's actually what they can pass through, what they can pass without going through reconciliation, and what they need to do reconciliation for. It's so confusing. You know, when you hear the metaphors, you know, it's making sausage. It really is. I don't know how the members of Congress who are right in the thick of it, the Pramila Jayapals, the Bernie Sanders, can do this, because it stresses me out just being here on the sidelines. I don't know what's going to happen, and I worry about what's going to happen. In other news, other stuff happened today, and I got to tell you about this. This has nothing to do with any of that, but let me share it with you anyway. The former guy, you know, is bitching because he still can't post on social media. So he has his communications person, I don't know, minion is hanging on a particular day, I guess, sending out his statements on social media. He can't do it, so they do it. Anyway, he sent out one last night saying, you know, they keep talking about the insurrection. The insurrection wasn't January 6th. That was a protest. The real insurrection was November 3rd. Ugh. Right? So he threatened to do this once before, and it looks like now he's trying to follow through on it. Donald Trump announced yesterday, or last night, that he's going to be launching a new media company. What is it? It's DTMG or something like that. I don't know. but the Twitter replacement, so he can write something with an at in front of his name, is going to be called, you ready for this? Truth Social. Truth. See, this is what we were talking about yesterday with Noel Katzler. It's opposite world. It's projection. He never tells the truth. So of course he's going to call his social media company Truth Social. And there's a sort of, if you go to, God, I closed the window. I think it's truthsocial.com. Let me see. The site's not upright. Well, there's sort of a landing page here. Truthsocial.com. It says, follow the truth. And here's the funniest part. Truth Social is America's big tent social media platform that encourages an open, free, and honest global conversation without discriminating against political ideology. Again, opposite world, if you take the exact opposite of what they're saying, anything Donald Trump is involved in, never once did he extend an olive branch to Democrats. Never once did he say, I represent everybody in the country. What he said is, if you didn't vote for me, basically, fuck you. I got no use for you. And you should be arrested for not voting for me, because he's an authoritarian dictator wannabe. So, you know, it's opposite world. So it's just the irony of him calling his social media company Truth, because this man wouldn't know the truth if it bit him on the ass. So there's that, but it gets better. So now you can join the waiting list to get on this alleged social media platform. You can pre-order the app in the Apple store, but of course they don't have it for Android yet. I'm an Android user, by the way. But for a while there, I guess it was sort of in beta testing mode. So this is just too funny. I'm just going to read this directly from, I don't know where I got it, but just hours after Trump announced his new social media platform, Truth Social, some Twitter users had already found their way onto the beta site. They were able to create accounts with the handles @DonaldTrump and @MikePence. They didn't even have it going for 24 hours, and these people already created fake accounts in Donald Trump's and Mike Pence's names. At press time, it says, the beta testing site for Truth Social had been taken offline. Well, duh, because it's offline. And it has a rule. One thing they did find, the 23rd rule for Trump's planned social media site is that you can't use it to make fun of his new social media site. There's no disparaging Truth Social on Truth Social. Even if you're telling the truth, you're telling the truth that it's a really stupid, poorly run thing, which I just heard Randy Rhodes say is based in Wuhan, China. You can't make this shit up, right? Number 23. Here's the rule. Number 23, you're prohibited from you may not disparage, tarnish, or otherwise harm, in our opinion, us and or the site. Touche. It's just too good. All right. All right. So yesterday we had fun talking with Noel Castler. I really like him. He's a good guy. He's funny. He's smart. He's sensible. But when I have a live guest on, I always still, you know, check out. I glance over at the chat every now and then, though I can't really participate when I'm involved in a live interview. But I do glance over and I see. And yesterday, somebody asked about the pictures behind me, because just so you know, it's like subliminal advertising. So, you know, I do this show. This is my main source of income, is the donations you make to this program. I do not put anything behind a paywall, because I don't believe, I come from radio. Radio was always free, right? It was free to listen to. The price you paid was the commercials you heard that you would sit through. Well, I'm not really running commercials either. So what I run off of is like the public radio model, which is donations. If you listen to the show, you like what you hear, you can afford it. I hope that you'll contribute something. But to be honest with you, I don't bring in enough money to support myself. So, over the pandemic, I picked up a paintbrush for the first time and learned at the age of 60 that I can paint. Weird, right? So, but I enjoy doing it. And then people started asking me to try to paint their cat or paint their dog. And I realized I can't paint human faces, but I can paint animal faces. So I always put something, usually, behind me, on the wall. So I've got, I used to put, you know, like pictures with rock stars up there and newspaper clippings, you know, like in my office. But now I put my artwork up there. And the ones that are behind me now are actually a few that, that I did a while ago, but some of my favorites. I've got the woman, the back of the woman's head holding the little golden retriever puppy over her shoulder. Here, let me see if I can zoom in on it. And for those of you who are just listening to either the live audio stream, perhaps on Progressive Voices, or maybe you're listening on Netroots Radio or Air Progressive or any of the other online stations that carry us, I will post photos of these paintings on the blog at NicoleSandler.com/10-21-21, because that's today's date. So you can see what we're talking about. But so here's the lovely one of the woman's back of her head and the puppy. And then this one actually might be one of my favorites, although I can't get a good shot of it because my mic boom is in the way. But this, you can't really see it well, but it's a landscape. It's like mountains and a river. But the style is sort of like a stained glass style that I love. That honestly, that's one of my favorite paintings. So if anybody's interested in those, they're all for sale. For these, you know, make me an offer. Now, the custom pet portraits, just so you know, I'm finishing up two, and then I'm free. I don't have any booked. So if you're interested, you know, the holidays are coming up. They make a great gift. If you're interested in a pet portrait, send me an email, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com. We'll set up a time for a phone call and we'll figure out what you want to do. But let me show you the two that I'm just about finished with. This is for Robert. It's two kitties, Dylan and Lilu. Let me like zoom out a little bit. So this one I've been working on for a while because I just really wanted to get it right. And yeah, and so I made a few different changes. But there's the two kitties. So that's them, right? Dylan and Lilo. And then you might recall, I was commissioned to do a painting of three corgis. And it was a big one. This is a 16x20 canvas. And it came out really well. I was really happy with it. And I sent it off to Nancy in Texas. And Louis DeJoy's post office destroyed it. So I am redoing it for her. Now, the third dog was her daughter's, and that one was at the front of the painting, the front of the photograph she sent me. So, and she sort of stole the thunder of the other two. So we did the new version, whoops, that's upside down, with just two of the corgis. God, it's so big, you can't even see it. Let me see if I can zoom out a little bit. So anyway, somebody asked me, you know, yesterday, can we see the artwork? So here's my latest. So there are the corgis. They're very cute. So this one's just done. She just gave me approval on it. So anyway, there you go. And I'm inexpensive. I really don't, you know, I've seen some of these advertised online because I check out and see what other people charge. And they run the gamut. You can get them done inexpensively, like from me, or you can pay hundreds or even thousands of dollars. So anyway, I'm not expensive. If you're interested, again, email me. I'll send you my price list, and we can talk. So they make lovely, lovely holiday gifts, and the holidays are coming up. And, you know, my birthday's coming up, too. So just saying. Speaking of birthdays, I got to share this with you because, you know, it's not like it's a slow news day or anything. But there are, I don't understand why news organizations waste time like this. So This story is from Huffington Post. Oh, and it's not even a news organization that did this. It's the Utah Department of Health. Then again, it is Utah. So, you know, but putting that aside, the headline reads, Utah Health Department ranks vaccination rates by zodiac signs. And WTF, Scorpios? Hey, I resemble that remark. I'm a Scorpio. So I look at the list and the thing says the Salt Lake County Health Department in Utah ranked the COVID-19 vaccination rates of the different zodiac signs and found that scorpions, oh God, who wrote this? Whoever wrote this should be dinged, should have to pay a fine, and found that scorpions, despite having a stinger, don't like to get pricked. Oh, come on. Hold on. I where's my buzzer? Oh, it's covered up. There's my buzzer. It just deserves it. The department shared its findings on Twitter Wednesday, and Scorpios were at the bottom of the list, presumably because they don't want to be around anyone, while Leos were at the top because they always need to be number one. The department also assured its followers that the findings were, quote, based on data. So it starts with the Leos. Here, I'll put a screenshot up. Leos are vaccinated at 70%. And this is just in Salt Lake County, in case you were wondering. Followed by Aquarius at 67, Aries 59, Sagittarius 59, Cancer 58, then Taurus 56, Gemini 55, Libra 54, Pisces 51%, Capricorn 51%, Virgos 50%, and Scorpios 46%. Somebody took the time to write this up as a story, and the health department in Salt Lake City actually did that study. I guess it's a study. I don't know. Also, we now know, did I keep this story up or not? I hate it when I open things and I read a million things and then I close them out. We found out that David Corn at Mother Jones, who yesterday reported that Joe Manchin said he would leave the party, well, he's been vindicated because Joe Manchin said, that's bullshit, capital B-U-L-L, bullshit, or something like that. And, apparently he did say it. So David Corn's been vindicated. Joe Manchin's a liar. But he did say that he offered that he would leave the Democratic Party. He'd become an independent, but would still caucus with the Democrats, like Bernie Sanders and Angus King. Whatever. Just get with the program already. That's the biggest issue. The fact that, he's willing to blow up the agenda of the Democratic president because what? He doesn't, because he's got so much money invested in the coal industry that he doesn't care about saving the lives and saving the planet in order to keep his money. I don't know. Just nuts. Just nuts. There were a few other things. There's some video I can play. Jamie Raskin was at it again today. Jamie Raskin. That one was from yesterday. Oh, and not all of them transferred over there. You know what? Forget that. I'll tell you this story. This is a great story, too. Do you remember that during the election season, Dan Patrick, not the sports guy, but the lieutenant governor of the state of Texas, he put out a challenge. He promised to pay $25,000 to any tipster who came forward with evidence of real voter fraud. Now, what's his name? Fetterman, John Fetterman, who's running for lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania. He actually tried to collect because he found a number of instances of Republicans committing voter fraud. But for some reason, he was ignored. Well, this time, Dan Patrick is paying. He has to pay it out. Dan Patrick promised to pay $25,000. Well, Dateline Austin from the Dallas Morning News. Nearly a year after offering up a hefty bounty for evidence of voter fraud in the wake of Donald Trump's loss, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick has handed out his first reward. But instead of going to an informant who smoked out fraud by Democrats, Patrick's five-figure payout went to a progressive poll worker in Pennsylvania, go figure, whose tip led to a single conviction of illegal voting by a registered Republican. See how that works? Yeah, the unexpected outcome reveals the political dangers of cash bounties with few strings attached and more cases of alleged GOP voting fraud still in Pennsylvania courts. Hello, John Fetterman. Patrick may be asked to shell out even more cash to his opponents. And here's a picture of the guy. Let's see if I can figure out how to bring this picture up somehow. Can I make that work? Bear with me. Anyway, this guy, here we go. I can pull it over here and just make sure you can see. It's just a guy. It's a guy holding up a check. Oh, there it is. Okay. So, you know what? This is that same guy from last week who's trying to call back again. I'm not going to take his call. Anyway, this is, it says, Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick just paid his first voter fraud bounty. It went to, oh, no, it doesn't say. Anyway, this guy who you see pictured on the screen. All right. Hey, troll. Oh, let's answer. All right. What do you want? Hello?
Hey, how's it going?
What's your deal? What's wrong with you? Why do you keep calling me?
Excuse me? You're on the show. I'd like to call into your talk show.
Okay, you're doing it. What do you want to say?
Well, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the revelations that NIH has come out and admitted to gain-of-function research.
To what?
You don't know what gain-of-function research is?
No. And you know what? I'm not a medical expert, and I'm not debating the vaccines with you. Where did you graduate from medical school?
We're not talking about vaccines. I'm not talking about vaccines. I'm talking about the virus.
Oh, you're talking about... Okay. Again, where did you graduate from medical school?
UT Austin.
Oh, really? So you're a doctor. You're a medical doctor?
That is correct.
Okay. Give me your full name, please.
No, thank you.
Okay, well, then you're full of shit, and I don't allow liars on my air. Go Trump yourself, buddy. And with that, I think it's time we should get Howie Klein on the line, right? Yeah. So, whose turn is it to mix up the Dirty Debbies? Because we need an extra shot today. Please, please. Here we go.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Oh, hello, Howie Klein.
Hi, how are you?
I'm actually doing okay. It's Friday Eve. Weekend is so close, I can feel it. Doing okay, hanging in there. How about you?
I never heard of Friday Eve before, but I got it.
it's how I refer to it. Thursday is the worst day of the week because you wake up in the morning and it's like, oh, we're almost there, but we still have another day. So we figured if you call it Thursday Eve, Friday Eve, it makes it a little easier to swallow.
Okay, that's all. Okay, I'll go for that.
What
on the phone with a wonderful new candidate who I hope to be bringing on once she makes her her announcement that she's officially running.
Okay,
she hasn't done that yet. She's getting it together, but she's great.
Can you tell us in what state she'll be running?
Oregon.
Oregon. Okay.
A new district in Oregon that. You know, in theory, there's no incumbent.
Oh, but, because it's a new district.
Someone horrible will claim to be the incumbent. But, you know, it's a new district. So, and she's got a good shot there. And she's great. She's just absolutely great. You know,
good.
If she gets in Congress, we have another winner.
Cool. Well, we need some. We need a lot of them, actually, because, you know, what's going on right now, this whole Manchin cinema thing is really disconcerting. Did you see that these military advisors that were going to work with cinema all just up and quit?
Did you play the ad?
Which ad? No, I didn't see it.
Oh, there's an ad. I think it's on the. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's on the top of my blog right now. I think I did a story on it.
Okay.
I'm not sure if the story came out or it's coming out in a little while, but the ad is very. You don't really need to see the ad.
Really?
You can play it, and it basically what it is one of the women, a veteran who is on her advisory board, reads the letter that they wrote to her. It's very powerful.
Okay, well, the top posts at downwithtyranny.com right now, the most recent one is, as usual, all the Democrats will have in 2022 is something about a report by Katie Edmondson. Then does party fence jumping signal a partisan something or other? And then you have Psycho Cinema worse than Manchin. Is it in any of those?
I don't think so.
I do.
I think Psycho Cinema came out before the letter did, so it can't be. In
yeah,
that.
10 hours
so
ago.
It's probably then the post that's coming up next.
Oh, okay. I'll have to look out for it. I do though have a.
Schedule them in, and I don't know which one is which.
Okay, I do. I do have a video for the candidate running for governor, and I think you have this up on your site as well. I think it's Nevada, Michelle Fiore.
My God, that crazy person.
I got to play this ad because this woman is fucking nuts. This is just too, you know, occasionally we get some entertainment value out of candidates as long as they don't win, right? It's when
right.
they win.
She's not going to win anything. She's like completely out of her mind. She even loses Republican primaries. I mean, this is like as crazy as they come. This is a nutcase who's from Brooklyn. So, like, I grew up in Brooklyn. I know what these kind of crazy people are like.
Right.
And she is one of them, out of her mind.
All right. Well, here's her ad, Michelle Fiore for governor of Nevada. Wow. Here we go. There's a pickup
I'm
truck.
I'm Michelle Fiore, Ooh. And I'm running for governor. I spent my whole life fighting the establishment. I was the first female majority leader in the Nevada Assembly and one of the first electeds to endorse Donald J. Trump. And you better believe I was attacked for it.
Just if you could see what
Washington
she looks like.
Washington Post called me a gun-toting calendar Hi. Girl. And Politico magazine said that I was the Lady Trump.
Oh,
and
God.
I don't care. We need outsiders. Fighters, not the same old boring moderate compromise Lou Blazer politicians.
Oi.
Let's start with a three-shot plan.
A three-shot plan, and she pulls out a gun.
Mandates,
oh my God.
Ban critical race theory and stop voter fraud. The Joe Biden administration is coming after me. I'm Michelle Fiore, and I'm ready for the fight.
Oh my God, Michelle Fiore for what? Governor. I'm sorry.
I've never heard. And they're not coming after her. But you know who is coming after her? The FBI, because she was stealing money from her campaign account. And also, she's being sued right now by another woman who's also on the city council. And she attacked that other woman and broke her finger.
Oh, my God.
This person is a nut. And when she refers to that calendar thing, remember the calendar thing?
Yeah.
That's because she put out a calendar. Of her and her family. And at the bottom of my post, one of the pictures, I think the December picture, and it's this whole dysfunctional-looking family. Even the little children are holding guns.
They're oh, my.
Holding guns. The whole
oh
calendar
God.
Is all about her holding guns.
Wow. Well, that's sad. I'll tell you something. You know, I don't think it's fair to pick on people because of their appearance. But she dressed like that. Just like I call out Kyrsten Sinema for the way she dresses in the Senate, not appropriate. This woman, for those not watching on video, wearing a skin-tight red dress that's belted around the middle, but she's got these enormous breasts, and it's sort of like baggy on the top, but you can even tell, even though it's baggy over the breasts, that she's spilling out over the top of the cups of the bra. Because she's huge. She's not a large woman. She's just, she's voluptuous. Her boobs are spilling out. She probably thinks that looked really good because why else would she wear that in her campaign ad?
Oh, That she's been dressing like that for years and years and years. If you go look at Google Images and her pictures, they're all that.
Oh, my.
In fact, I'm glad you brought it up because I wanted to ask you, and I've been embarrassed to ask anybody about it.
Okay.
Is she wearing a bra or is that
She
no
is
bra?
Wearing a bra. She's wearing a bra that's too small because she's spilling over the top.
I see.
She's probably spilling out the sides, too. I mean, she, you know, yeah. She, it's just all wrong. That's a glamour fashion fail, in case you are wondering.
Right. So I didn't mention anything about it, but I do have a story up about her on my blog that I did, I think, last night. And the video is there. Uh-huh. For anyone who didn't see it, just heard it the way
it's right
did
here.
On the radio. And talks about her background as well. And
your headline, Howie, the headline is, "Today, a rabid madwoman announced she's running for governor of Nevada."
She's not going to win the Republican primary, by the way. It's a very, very crowded primary, and there are other lunatics in it, as well as, the former U.S. Senator, Ensign, he's running. He's probably going to win the primary.
Wait a second.
When she said something about a blue blazer and knocks it over, I think that's his picture.
Oh. Yeah, but didn't he resign under, like, a cloud of some sexual scandal or something? John Ensign, right?
Oh, what state are we talking about?
Nevada.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, right.
They like clouds there. Nevada is one crazy state.
Well, crazy, I'm in Florida. Remember Florida.
Clouds don't hurt anybody in that state.
Yeah, well, you know, here in Florida, our idiot in chief he wants to call a special session to pass a law prohibiting vaccine or mask mandates. You know.
And what will it be for everybody except his big campaign donors like Disney?
I guess. Yes, they're going to have to carve out an exception for Disney because Disney gives them a lot of money. And they're saying, screw you. People want to come in our parks. They have to wear a mask.
And what about all the cruise lines that he was fighting with?
They're doing it too. They're all thumbing their nose at him. Now, as far as I know, the only entity that he's hit with a fine is Leon County, the county where the state capital is. That's Tallahassee, is Leon County. And he hit them.
A very Democratic county, by the way.
Right. 714 state employees in Tallahassee. In Leon County, were told they had to be vaccinated or show proof of a negative test, I think, weekly, and wear a mask. And because of that, DeSantis fined them $5,000 for each of the 714 employees. By the way, 14 of them resigned rather than taking the vaccination. But they fined them $5,000 for each of them. So that's over $3.5 million for one county in Florida. It's absurd.
Yep.
It's absurd.
Well, that would describe DeSantis pretty well.
Well,
I'm so happy right now.
Why?
Because it's almost impossible if you do your laundry in a house to lose a sock.
Well, it happens, though.
Yes, I did. I lost a sock, and I just found it.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't take much to get you very happy, Howie, huh?
Oh, but like these are like really great socks. I love them, and I hate losing them. And every now and then it happens. I mean, I don't know if it happens to other people, but it happens to me. But yes, DeSantis has got to go. Now, I know Annette Tadeo just ran into it.
She just announced
that she's running.
Yeah,
and she's an old friend of mine. But she ran as lieutenant governor under
Charlie Crist,
and now she's going to run for governor against him.
And
yeah, that's amazing. I have to find out what's going on in her head. And the tragedy is that she has to then resign her state legislative seat.
Yes, she's
run.
A state senator, and she's I've known Annette for years as well, and she's smart, and I really like her. The problem is she's never gotten any traction, and she's run for a few offices, the highest one being lieutenant governor, with Charlie Crist, and they lost to Rick Scott, of all people. So, you know, and she doesn't have the statewide name recognition. The thing she has going for her here in Florida is she's Hispanic. She's a Hispanic Jew.
Right, but she's not Cuban.
She's not Cuban. She's a Hispanic. I think this troll got my private, got my cell phone number. Is like calling me now. Yes, she's not Cuban. I want to say her family's from Venezuela, but I could be wrong.
Colombia.
There you go, Colombia. And she's Jewish, which there's a big, obviously Jewish constituency down here.
Is she actually Jewish? I know she's married to a Jewish guy, but is she Jewish herself?
She is. She is. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I put in a request to get her on the show. Look, I had Nikki Fried on. I had Charlie Crist on. I'd love to talk to her. I just worry. She might be the best of the three candidates. And she might be the best of the three candidates, but she has no name recognition, which frightens me.
Right. Well, not having name recognition, I mean, she must have some from when she ran as lieutenant governor. But, I mean, I guess she's hoping that she raises enough money to raise her profile. That's what they all need to do. But, I mean, she'll never catch up with Charlie in terms of name recognition, that's for sure.
Not at all. Again, he was governor. He was a Republican when he was governor. But, you know.
Governor before that, he was attorney general, and was there was a lot of scandal attached to his name at the time, political scandal. And there was, and then he was he ran for Senate.
He ran for the Senate, right?
No, so he's definitely known by everybody in the state, except people who just arrived there a couple of days ago. And you know, he's kind of conservative, so I'm mistrustful of him. And Nikki, I can't figure out what she's doing. I mean, is she just running on legalization of marijuana? Is that her only issue?
That's her biggest issue. But you know, she says. She's a Democrat, a progressive Democrat. I should send you the interviews I did with them, because both of them, they answered my questions, and I think I asked everything I wanted to ask. I didn't hold back. I asked Charlie Crist about the gay rumors, and we talked about this after.
He lied about it. I mean, that's so ugly.
Yeah, it would have been nice if he just said, you know what? Yeah, I am, and I would have said, cool. Well, nice to meet you, Charlie. You know, because. Here we are. It's the 2020s already. So I don't know. It's Florida. You know, I keep going back to the state that would elect Rick Scott as governor. This man was the he was the CEO of Columbia HCA, a hospital corporation of America, and they were responsible for the largest Medicare fraud in the country ever. And it was something like $75 million or something like that. And when he went up,
he got elected.
But before that,
the papers, he got elected anyway.
They knew that in the papers. He had to testify. He pled the fifth 75 times. He wouldn't answer a question. So he took the fifth 75 times on the stand, and the idiots in the state still elected him.
Scary.
Yeah, it is scary. That's why the whole thing frightens me. So did you watch any of the hearings today?
No. No, I've been writing all day. What were the hearings?
Merrick Garland was testifying before a House committee. Steve Cohen.
Did anybody ream him?
Well, you know what? I already played this, but I'm going to play it again because I want to get your take on it. Steve Cohen of Tennessee, not the most progressive member, but he's certainly not the worst. He's the only one who actually, you know, put Merrick Garland on the spot and said, why aren't you prosecuting Trump? I, for one, was thrilled to hear it. But so here's the clip. It's only a little over a minute. Here it goes.
The rule of law, you made clear, and I know you believe this, is one of the major tenets of the Department of Justice to uphold the rule of law. Michael Cohen has a felony on his record, spent time in prison for paying, at the direction of President Trump, hush money to Stormy Daniels and another woman. I believe that it's pretty well known that President Trump was individual one, as described in the indictment.
Yeah.
He couldn't be indicted because of the Department of Justice policy, you don't indict a sitting president. He's no longer a sitting president. Do you believe that not looking into indicting individual one, equally, if not more guilty than Michael Cohen, is not an abuse of equal protection under the law and an abrogation of the idea that the rule of law is principle?
So, Congressman, and a very important element of the rule of law is the norm of the Justice Department that we don't comment on whether we're investigating, what the status of investigations are, unless and until there's a public charge. That's important to protect everyone, whether it be a former president, an existing president, or a public official or a private individual.
I will accept that, but I hope that you will look at it, because I believe that he is equally, if not more, guilty, and it does seem that people get favored treatment if he does not get,
it seems
if he's not
that
prosecuted.
Way.
Transparency is important as well.
So at least he asked him the question, not that he answered it.
Right, although he answered it in, I guess, the only way he could. And like Steve said, we have to accept that answer.
Right, exactly. But at least he publicly called him out. But, you know, so the House, the full House, voted today to hold Steve Bannon in criminal contempt. The vote was 229 to 202. 9 Republicans voted with all the Democrats.
Wow. And was it the Republicans who also voted to
impeach?
Plus two,
because there are two who didn't. So here's the 9. Major, M-E-I-J-E-R, I don't know who that is.
He's a young guy from a very, very wealthy family who owns a gigantic supermarket chain, and he's a military veteran who takes it very seriously. He's kind of a moderate Republican, so not really conservative. I mean, he's conservative, but kind of moderate, and he doesn't like Trump. He's a serious guy.
Okay. Well, good. So he did the right thing. So it was Major, Cheney, Kinzinger, Gonzalez.
Yeah, well, he's retiring after this. There are two Gonzaleses, but I'm sure you're not talking about the one from Texas. You're talking about the one from Ohio,
right,
who's not running for re-election. Okay. Trump drove him out of the re-election.
Okay, so he voted with the Democrats. Fred Upton of Michigan, that I know. Katko?
Yeah, from Syracuse, New York. He's in a very, very blue district. He has no choice.
Okay. Fitzpatrick?
He votes with the Democrats more than any other Republican.
Really? Wow. Okay. Nancy Mace. This is one who did not vote for the for impeachment.
Yeah, and I don't think that Fitzpatrick did either. But Nancy Mace is interesting. She's in Charleston, South Carolina, which is a kind of a swing district. Remember, she just won it from a blue dog Democrat, who was pretty awful himself.
Okay.
She's gone back and forth. At one time, she denounced Trump, and then she got a lot of pushback on that, and then she embraced Trump. And, you know, she's going to get attacked by him. I mean, has he responded to this yet? Because he's going to go nuts on the Republicans. He'll be yelling, they're all rhinos.
Oh, well, of course. And then the 9th one is Herrera Beutler. Yeah. Who's,
right, and
who
she's already in big trouble. I don't know that she can be reelected. Trump has endorsed some nutcase who's running against her in a district that is although it's in Washington State. It's really like it's right on the border of Oregon, and everybody, like, you know, there's a bridge, right? That's the most important thoroughfare in the district that goes into Oregon, and that's so it's almost like a district that spans two states. It doesn't. It's all in Washington.
Okay,
it's Southwest. Southwest Washington, and it's kind of also a swing district. Although she's a Republican, if the nutcase wins, and I think he will, I think he's going to beat her, then there's a chance for a Democrat to win there.
Okay. Oh, cool. Well, so that's it. So 9 Republicans voted with all the Democrats to say yes, they're going to refer Steve Bannon to the Justice Department for criminal contempt of Congress charges. And we'll see what happens. But we have no guarantee that Merrick Garland's going to do anything.
We don't have any guarantee, but I can't imagine that he's not. I mean,
right.
You know, it is very serious. It doesn't happen, you know, every year or every session of Congress.
It never happens. And the Republicans on the committee did the whole Trump thing. You know, the denial of reality. They keep trying to say that it was no big deal. It was not a thing.
No, the Republicans on the committee all voted for it.
I mean, the Republicans in the House. The Republicans in the House.
Yeah.
Right. The Republicans on the committee are only Cheney and Kinzinger.
Right.
Yep. But in the, today they were debating it, and that's what I'm talking about. So the Jim Jordans and the Matt Gaetzes and all those despicable creatures their attitudes are like, you know, we had this flawless administration who did nothing wrong, and then Joe Biden comes into power and everything has been fucked up since the moment he took office. That's what they were saying. It's pretty, look, I have my problems with Biden, but I'd take him any day of the week over the former guy. And for them to even assert that things were like calm and normal under him, it's opposite world.
Their party line now. They're all supposed to repeat that over and over again until the zombies stop believing it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Did you hear they said that they're getting close to a deal?
Yeah, a bad deal.
Yeah. The stuff they're pulling out is hard. The stuff that they're pulling out of the bigger package, tuition-free community college, paid leave. They're cutting down the child tax credit. I mean, all of the stuff. And
taxes themselves. I mean, cinema will not agree to the rich getting taxed or corporations getting taxed. So the whole bill is sort of falling apart, and it's going to be a pretty sad little bill.
Yeah,
that's not going to help.
And that's unfortunate. Do you know Alex Lawson from Social Security Works?
What I know people from Social Security Work. What did you say the name was?
Alex Lawson. He's the executive director.
Of course I know Alex.
Okay.
Yes, he ran, in fact, against CATCO.
Did he? I never knew he ran for office. Oh, wow.
Yes, he did.
Wow. Cool. Well, Alex, you know, he was on this live stream last night with Bernie Sanders explaining what's in the bill. So he's going to join us tomorrow at the beginning of the show to talk about where it is now, like what's still in it and what was cut out of it and where we go from here. Alex is great. Right. He's got tons of information, so he'll give us the latest. And he's so funny.
Yeah, great guy.
Yeah. When I saw that he was on the call, you know, I retweeted his thing saying, my God, Alex Lawson is going to be with Bernie Sanders and Mary Kay Henry from SEIU. And I forget who all. I mean, it was an impressive lineup. And Alex's response to me was, yeah, I think they sent the invitation to the wrong place, but it's all right. I'll go with it.
The funny thing is that Bernie since then has had a meeting with Manchin. And Bernie said to him, what is your bottom line? What is your top line? What do you want to see in this bill? And Manchin said, how about zero?
Oh, my God.
That was his way of sending a message that he doesn't care. And we know Sinema doesn't care. Neither one of them cares at all. But, you know, Manchin has basically said he's agreed to, what, 1.75, or was it 1.5, something like that?
Like 1.5 to 1.9. And that's what Joe Biden said. It's going to have to come in below 1.9. What? Because Joe Manchin said so. That's not democracy.
But Joe, they need that vote. If they don't have Joe Manchin's vote, and if he refuses to budge, there's nothing they can do about it. That when he said zero to Bernie, that's what he was saying, basically, that I'll do whatever I want, and it doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you write in an editorial in my state. Nothing matters. I'll do what I want, and that's it. And there's nothing you can do about it. And the problem is they're all focusing on him, still not realizing that the psychopath is much, much more difficult than Manchin is. Manchin is a rational player, and Sinema is not a rational player. That's
right.
That's why I wrote that Psycho Cinema piece the other day that you mentioned.
Right. But somebody, Burgess Everett from Politico, just a little while ago tweeted this. News. Sources familiar say Cinema, quote, has agreed to provisions in each of President Biden's four proposed revenue categories. International, domestic corporate, high net worth individuals, and tax enforcement, providing sufficient revenue to fully pay for the reconciliation package.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, so she agreed to what did they come down to appease her? That's the question.
Burgess Meredith says she agreed. We'll see what
Burgess Everett.
That's because I read what she had to say about it yesterday, which is that she doesn't agree with those things.
Right.
So maybe she's changed her mind. Who knows?
Well, but, or this is today. And apparently they've been, you know, knee deep in negotiations. All I know is that they're going to have to do another extension of that transportation funding because they're not going to have certainly the reconciliation bill done in time. So now they're talking about another extension to take it to December 3rd so that everything comes crashing down on December 3rd.
Good.
Yeah. I don't have the stomach for this. I don't know how these people do it.
Right. Well, they're very good at kicking the can down the road. That's the specialty of the U.S. Congress.
That they are. So, Howie, I did decide we're going to go see Todd Rundgren Saturday night.
Oh,
I'm going to go.
I'm happy to hear that.
And you'll love this. I reached out to Jackson Browne's managers. And, you know, I haven't spoken to them in, what, 10 years, probably? And, you know, I asked about an interview, and I was right. They said, while he's on tour, he's not doing anything, especially now. Where he said, she said, we're all in a COVID bubble. But I explained to her about the ticket fees, and I said, can I buy a pair of tickets through you to avoid those fees? She's like, I have a pair of tickets. I'll have a pair of tickets at Will Call for you.
Of course.
Yeah, that was very, very nice. So we're bookending my birthday with two concerts, live music. I will be wearing an N95 mask. We'll probably be wearing gloves. Hopefully we'll sit. We'll find seats that are there aren't a lot of people around or something. I don't know. But I need live music.
If you go backstage, please say
hi. I will not.
For me.
I won't. Here's the thing, because they're not doing any meet and greets because of COVID. She said everyone's in a COVID bubble, but he has a new album coming out. She said maybe after the tour, like around the end of the year, we can do an interview. It's like, yeah, anytime he's ready, let's do it. So when I do, when I talk to him, I'll certainly pass along your greetings.
And when you interview him, you could ask him a question that no one has probably ever asked him.
Which is?
What was it like being the lead singer of the Blue Oyster Cult for a day or a week or whatever it was?
You're right, because I didn't even know that. I did get to ask him the first time I interviewed him. I held up the CD. You know the CD that it says there's a picture of like a water bag on it, and it says saturate before using? And that's what everybody calls it. But the album is actually titled Jackson Browne. And I held up the CD to him. Because if you look in a record, they call it Saturate Before Using. And I held up, I said, what is this album called? And he laughed. And he said, it's called Jackson Browne. But so there's a bit of trivia for everybody. All right. On that note, Howie Klein, did you ever get to see that Van Gogh thing?
No, we haven't gone yet. I mean, it's always hard to get people's schedules to work together. But yeah, we definitely plan to.
That is very true. But it's worth it. You should go. We actually went to the Boca Museum this past weekend because they have an exhibit on Machu Picchu. They have all of these artifacts that were found on this mountaintop community, farming community in Peru, in Machu Picchu. And it was magnificent. But what we discovered is those ancient Incas were into sex and drugs. They had pottery, they had ceramics of the most graphic sexual positions of these gods. And then they turned into like animal creatures. And when you read the thing, it's because they would take these buttons, they called them, and other elixirs. And then obviously they'd go tripping and they'd become animal spirits or something. It was the trippiest thing ever. So, you know, our generation isn't the first to go nuts on drugs.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Yeah. All right. Howie Klein, always a pleasure. I will look for your post on the new post, the Kyrsten Sinema ad.
Yes, the ad, you'll love it. The ad is wonderful.
Okay.
It's right up your alley.
All right. So it'll be up at downwithtyranny.com. I'll pull it. I'll play it tomorrow. And I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.
All right.
Talk to you next week.
Thanks, Howie. Bye. Again, find Howie Klein at downwithtyranny.com. And while you're there, click on the Blue America Pack page, because that's where he introduces you to great progressive candidates who in many cases are primarying conservadems. Also, some running unopposed or you know, running against other Democrats in a primary race. But Howie does a great job of vetting these candidates and finding the best, most progressive ones out there. So downwithtyranny.com. When you get there, there's a thing for Blue America as well. All right. With that, we're done. Tomorrow's Friday. As I told you, we're going to start with Alex Lawson. And then I know we've got a lot of people here, Sandy, Environmental Coffee House Sandy, has a great backyard farm. She harvests produce. The pictures are amazing. Well, I'm going to talk with Dr. Cassandra Quave, and she's got a new book out. Damn it, it's inside. But it's about healing through plants. It's not political, but it looked fascinating, and I think we'll have our politics fixed with Alex, and then we'll talk about healing through plants and stuff like that as we head into the weekend. All right, I'll leave you with the news. Thank you, as always, for listening, everyone. And yes, I already see a couple of emails asking for information about the painting. So if you're interested, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com. And with that, I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everyone. Mwah. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
President Joe Biden answers questions Thursday night on CNN in a town hall as he tries to get Americans on board with his legislative agenda, currently suffering under his own party's self-inflicted wounds. Biden will also certainly address the coronavirus pandemic and new programs for booster shots and immunizing children from 5 to 11. Even with all that and the other big issues on the table, I'm hoping the president comes out forcefully exposing the Republican scheme to take control of our elections on our way toward an authoritarian state. A bit of history. As recently as 2006, the Voting Rights Act was reauthorized by the Senate 98-0 for 25 years. That should have protected us through 2031. But in 2013, the Supreme Court began whittling away those protections, gutting Section 5, thereby removing the preclearance requirement for previously offending jurisdictions to seek approval in advance of any changes made to their voting rules. Well, on Wednesday, Senate Republicans filibustered the Freedom to Vote Act. The new legislation would override these new voting restrictions that Republicans are enacting in states they control that would allow them to change the election results if they don't like the outcome. That's an oversimplification, but it is accurate. If this assault on our right to vote isn't addressed, we are at risk of the end of this democracy as we know it. Seriously. The House is voting Thursday on whether to hold Steve Bannon, a longtime ally and aide to the former guy, in contempt of Congress after he defied a subpoena from the committee investigating the violent January 6th Capitol insurrection. Once the House approves the contempt resolution, it'll be sent to the Justice Department. Channing Phillips, the acting U.S. attorney for the District of Columbia, and other DOJ officials will decide whether or not to bring criminal contempt charges against Bannon. But that could take months to play out, which, of course, is exactly what the insurrectionists want. Democrats, though, know that they must do something to protect Congress's oversight responsibilities. On a related note, Attorney General Merrick Garland will testify also Thursday at an oversight hearing of the House Judiciary Committee. So we expect questions about Bannon and the DOJ's prosecution of January 6 defendants. More than 600 people have been charged in the attack so far, with more expected in the coming months. So as President Biden tries to salvage something from the deal that's being sabotaged by two senators from his own party, on Wednesday he floated a new top amount of $2 trillion. That's down from $3.5 trillion over 10 years, and new plans to pay for it, shelving the proposed big increase in corporate tax rates because Kyrsten Sinema wouldn't go along with those. In its place, a new billionaire's tax on investment gains of the wealthiest Americans. The White House is also reviving the idea of a minimum corporate tax rate, similar to the 15% rate that Biden had proposed earlier this year. That would apply even to companies that say they had no taxable income, a frequent target of the president who complains that they pay zero in taxes. And courtesy of Joe Manchin, the major part of the legislation that deals with climate change appears to be dead. The West Virginia senator who made a fortune from his coal industry holdings is staunchly opposed to the $150 billion clean electricity plan that was supposed to be the foundation of the president's transition to clean energy.
That's not good news for President Biden, who'd really like to have something done on climate before he leaves for Scotland next week, headed for the United Nations COP26 climate summit. Biden says entering the summit without something to show for his pledge to dramatically reduce the nation's greenhouse gas emissions would damage America's credibility. You think? Moving on to COVID, there's a lot happening. The FDA authorized booster shots of the Moderna and Johnson & Johnson vaccines on Wednesday and officially gave the go-ahead for mix-and-match boosters among all three of the authorized vaccines. If the CDC signs off on those recommendations, as they're expected to do, new boosters could be available within days. And the plan to inoculate children ages 5 to 11 could get off the ground very soon. Netflix employees walked out of the streaming services office in Los Angeles on Wednesday in a protest against the company's support of Dave Chappelle's new comedy special, The Closer, which certainly does include transphobic material. Those workers were joined by other supporters in a rally outside of the company's headquarters. And he just can't help himself. 9 months after being removed from social media for his role in inciting the January 6th insurrection, the former guy said Wednesday that he's launching a new media company with its own social media platform. The ironically named Truth Social app will allegedly have a soft launch next month. It also plans a video on demand service, TMTG Plus, that they claim will rival Netflix, Disney Plus, and the other major streaming services. Alrighty then. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.